We're having a little math quiz over here. 70 times 7.
You gotta come back and tell me next week.
Oh my gosh, it's like, people, please. All right. Well, we don't do math, and we don't have to do math in the Bible, right? We don't do math in church, sorry. All right. Sounds good. Math. I like math. I'm the only one in my household that likes math. So I'm the weirdo and I'm the Mr. Square Root guy in my house. So I'm a nerd. Big nerd. That's me. Anyway. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, I am happier than a gym membership salesman in January. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you think about that? Or a water salesman in a marathon, right? I mean, you know, those good times. Hallelujah. Ate plenty. Hope you did too. Those gluttony scriptures don't apply, you know, right around Thanksgiving through Thanksgiving till after the first of the year, okay? All right. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to Habakkuk 2:2 and 3. Probably don't turn there very often, do you? All right. Well, tonight I want to talk about hold tight to your vision. We're not going to go off on some, you know, since it's a new year, all of the, New Year's resolutions and everything. Yeah. Whatever. You know, you do you if you are into the New Year's resolution, you know. But we're talking about vision tonight and moving forward. And it's always good to talk about those things. But some interesting things here while you're turning to Habakkuk 2:2 and 3, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. I was looking at some things and during right around COVID, did you know, and this is so alarming, and of course everything going on, in the world today, and there's just so much so much uncertainty with the political realm, with the world going on, and then these attacks or episodes, whatever you want to call them. But during COVID pandemic, 48% of Americans were depressed. 60% of American adults experienced nervousness, anxiety, or they felt like they were on the edge. 53% of Americans are not able to stop worrying, or they cannot control their worrying. Well, we're different than that, aren't we? We can control those things. Well, of course, you know, during COVID, a lot of people had a lot of time on their hands. So, you know, it's not a scripture, but it is true, an idle time is the devil's playground, right? And sometimes when you don't have a vision or something to, put yourself have a goal or something you put yourself to, you can begin to just kind of flounder, right? I mean, you don't know if you're accomplishing anything. You're not sure where you're going. It's just everything's directionless. And that can ensue and also kind of provoke some depression, worry, and things in our lives. But there's some cures for that. And we can put direction and we can have purpose in our life again. We're going to look at some scriptures, and God actually is going to anoint you to have purpose. When you have a vision or a plan, and you dedicate it to God, things can begin to happen in your life. And so we look at, and one of the main reasons, again, this is not the only reason. I'm not the guy that's like, this is the one truth you're going to have in your life, and the one this, and the one that everyone watches YouTube, you know. This is the key to all your whole life. And this one little thing is like, okay, whatever. Like some people, they say, well, you need to, cut all your spending. You got to make money to be able to buy things, right? So that's kind of only half of it, making money is good, but we also need to control our spending. So there's kind of a combination. And I always like to say there's a balance in life in everything, isn't there? Well, Habakkuk 2:2. And verse 3 says, and the Lord answered me and said, and this is King James, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that you may run whoever that reads it. So you got to have vision. You got to have direction. We got to have a plan here, don't we? And then it goes on and it says, verse 3, for the vision is yet for appointed time. Now I want to stop there for a moment. I was just reading some interesting things today, and it said something about when, I think statistically it was one point, whatever a plan is that you have, whether it's business or whatever, it usually takes about one, on average, 1.6 times longer than you think. So it could be anywhere from almost twice as long as you think that you're going to accomplish the goal in. Why? Because there's other factors going to come along, right? I mean, we're just talking about getting kids ready for, you know, to walk out the door. I mean, I remember when my girls were younger, really little, it's like, you got to put the coat on them. Then, I mean, it was like, we have to start a half hour early before we need to walk out the door, right? Because there's like infinite amount of things that can go wrong. You put the coat on and then all of a sudden, oops, we blew our pants out. So we got to change a diaper, right? Yeah. Then we got to clean that mess up. Then one of them's running around over here and they've ripped their hat off and gloves off, and then we don't know where they're at, you know. And then now we're crying because we want our toy, and it's just like one thing after another. So you may have a plan, but you need help getting the plan done. I mean, it's all of these things that could come along, right? That's just called life. And I am not the most patient driver in the world, so I have road rage, and that's one of my flesh things, you know. One of my things, I do have a lust problem, and it's for cars, right? So I'll tell you my dirty laundry tonight. I forget my name when I see a sweet old Chevy, like Corvette. I always have to go to the car show every year, you know, the Good Guys car show, and I love going to car shows, and I'm just like, ah, I want to take you home. And the next one, I need to take you home too. And then my other flesh problem is just road rage. I got to watch that, right? I mean, I got a problem, okay? I'll just tell you right now. You know, I've been through the 12-step, road rage problems and everything else too. And Adrian always says, well, you just never get out. And it's like, it doesn't matter. I still want things to move now. It is. So for the vision is yet for appointed time. What it means is God is saying, we have a vision. It's out there. It's going to happen. I want it to happen now. I want it to happen 5 minutes ago. But sometimes in life, things happen. Remember the last 4 or 5 years in the political cycle? Guess what? I want things to happen now. I had to wait 4 years. I got a wait time, right? I don't want to wait. And sometimes with vision, it's like things got, you know what? God sometimes has to move people in places. I mean, Joseph, all right? Joseph couldn't figure out what was going on, but God had to get Joseph from point A to point B. He had to get him into Egypt in order to save the people from the famine. How many of you know there was a vision? He gave Joseph a vision, which again, sometimes when I read that in Genesis, I'm thinking you probably shouldn't have been blabbing it to your brothers. Don't like it. Just saying. But sometimes God can overlook dumb things, but help you anyway. But there was a vision. There was something that God had called Joseph to do, but it did take some time, right? To get from point A to point B and everything to be manifest. And so here we go. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but the end shall speak. What's that mean? It's going to be very visible at some point. And not lie. Though it tarries, meaning it may take time, wait for it, because it will what? Surely come. It will not tarry. It will come to pass, won't it? Those things. Whatever it's business or whatever it is, you know, you're believing for something. Maybe you're a house or, you know, wanting a job or business or whatever that is. Again, if God puts, and I always think too, and let me just pause here for a moment. But you know, if God puts something in your heart, no matter what that is, whether it's business or something, and you come back and say, I don't know, was that me or was that? You know what? The devil's not going to tell you often to go do good things, right? Well, I don't know. Was it God telling me to make cookies for my neighbor? Okay. It wasn't the devil, all right? I'm just telling you right now. He's not telling you to go, you know, bless people and, you know, do these things, is he? One thing we'll get into in a minute, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And again, there are too many people. The devil has been lying to you that it's over. Nothing's ever going to happen. You know, and I know that the last 4 or 5 years have not been very, very good. Meaning just a lot with COVID and just a lot of just crazy things going on. But that doesn't define us, does it? It doesn't define us as a nation. It doesn't define us as a people. It doesn't define us as a faith-based people either. It doesn't define us as a church, and it doesn't define you as a family, and it doesn't define you as an individual. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the ESV says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's not easy to do that, is it? It's not. Right? I mean, you look at the disciples in the boat. It wasn't real easy to trust. And then Jesus is going, come on, guys. And I mean, I'd be freaking out too. You know, like a hurricane shows up. You know, Miss Adrian just talking about that. I mean, is it hurricane or is it swimming with the sharks? I don't know, but both ends sound pretty scary to me, right? And so here's the disciples. They got the storm coming up. And oh, boy, twice, right? They're in there. And one time Jesus is asleep. And he's like, come on, guys, you woke me up for this. It's like, we're going to drown, Jesus. Jesus is like, nah, I'm around, so you're not going to drown. It's going to be okay. And then the next time, Jesus is walking on the water, you know, because he's over there praying by himself, and then he's walking on the water, and they're freaking out. And what's he say? Don't be afraid. But we're seeing these, God supernaturally does things, but again, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it's easy to trust the situation, right? Well, I'm in this financial situation. I'll never get out of it. No. One check could show up in the mail, right? One person could have one thing could happen. One person could say yes. Hey, we're going to hire you. We're going to give you this job. We're going to do this. You know, well, it's always going to be like this, right? Well, you know, there's going to be so many years before you pay all this off. No, it doesn't have to be. God can do supernatural. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now, it doesn't mean you shut your brain off, right? Hello? Oh, I got checks in the checkbook. Right? Not smart. We're not saying be stupid, but what it does mean is you're going to rely on God's knowledge above yours, right? That means you're making a plan, you have a vision, you're going down a path, and he says he'll direct your ways. What's that mean? It means you're going this way, and he goes, okay, turn right a little bit. Okay. I was like Brother Hagin said. He says, you can't steer a parked car. You got to be moving, right? You got to be doing, you got to be active. You got to be engaged. You got to be, right? Well, I wish I could find a job eating Cheetos on the... Hey, I've lost my job a few times, and it's not easy. It's not easy, you know? I've had a few times where, you know, one time they came in and said, okay, we're all done. We're shutting this whole division down. Some of the guys I was working with were crying. I was actually kind of excited. Is that bad to get fired? But I was actually kind of excited. I'm like, this is cool. I get like 3 months paid and I'm making some money over here anyway, so whatever. And that wasn't comfortable, you know, but the point is, it's like, hey, you know what? I mean, this didn't catch God off guard. I didn't go home and go, God, what happened? Oh, and the Lord's like, I don't know what happened. I mean, it caught me off guard too. I mean, it's what a shocker. No, it didn't catch God off guard. And everybody, you know, those are the people, some of my coworkers are crying or getting upset. I'm just like, and they were, and I said, we were in the meeting. I said, this is fantastic. And my managers were like, I said, this is great. I get 3 months out. I'm making money. I'm doing other things anyway. This is just perfect. And that probably wasn't the response that they wanted, but anyway, but I said, I'll take the severance. It's fabulous. Thank you. I'll take this 3-month vacation. But anyway, what was I doing? I was trusting in the Lord. Of course it wasn't comfortable. Of course things were tight for us. And God, you know, brought us out of it. But again, I was not trusting in, I am not, my value is not in a company, whether they hire me or fire me, right? That's very important. And I've been, you know, a couple times walked to the door because they closed things down. And my value is not in other people or definitely not companies, definitely not jobs. It's I trust in the Lord because my value is in Him, not what other people think of me or the value they place on me. It's what this Bible places on me. The Lord places on me. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding, right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will what? Make straight your paths. So what does that mean? Is you're going down, and He's going to help align things for you as you're walking down this path of life, right? Of course there's going to be bumps. Of course there's going to be things. Why do you think He says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean into your own understanding, because things look scary sometimes, right? Things look scary sometimes. It looks like, the Titanic, we're going down, you know, we got to, you know, toss out the SOS, the help. And the Lord's like, well, wait a minute here. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's go there. So one thing is we got to get our thinking straight. I am not, and you are not, defined by what the world has or everything else too. If we're going to be Christians, we're defined on what He says. Well, but you don't know, Pastor. My bank account says this. It doesn't matter. Why are you? Well, I don't know. I just this or that or the circumstances, or I don't have the skills and I don't have. Jeremiah 29:11 says, here we go. For I know the thoughts and what plans that I have for you. There is a blueprint in heaven. God has a plan for every person in this room. Says the Lord, thoughts and plans, here we go, for welfare and for peace and not for evil, right? So bad things are happening to you. It's not God's fault. It's not God. What does He say? I want good things to happen for you. I have a great plan for your life. I have a vision for your life. And guess what? It's not evil. Everybody says, well, that's God, you know. And we got some insurance people in here and everything else too. And I remember, I never was in like property casualty. I was more like investments and life insurance and all that stuff. But you know, we got to get acts of God, right? Guess what? God didn't have anything to do with this, right? And God is not schizophrenic. Jesus is not rebuking God in the boat to make the storm go away. God is rebuking the devil, who we see in John 10:10. The thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. Here we go. He's separating Himself from the devil. The devil is bad. Right? We need to go back to those things. A lot of the church people, we need to go, devil bad, God good. Right? It's amazing how many denominations don't have that figured out yet, right? They'll rip off our charismatic songs and, you know, oh, this feels good and everything, and then they get into, you know. Well, the Lord took him. The Lord needed another angel. The Lord killed him. I don't know what kind of Bible you're reading or what kind of crack you're smoking, but God is not killing people, all right? God is not part of the mafia, and He's not out whacking people, all right? He is here. He wants good things for us. And He says, what? In all your ways, trust in Him. Let's go to Jeremiah. I'm reading Proverbs there. Jeremiah, again, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. What? Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you hope. Everybody say hope. If you know there's no hope involved, it's not God. If you look at something and you see a depressive dead end, it ain't God. He is here to what? Give you hope. Here we go. In your final outcome. Now, Jeremiah is getting this revelation for the Hebrews that are what? They are enslaved at this time. They are not, they have been just carried away. They're in exile. They're now slaves. And he's sitting there going, wait a minute here. I've got a good plan for you. And then verse 12, and it says, then you will call on me. Here we go. And I will come. Everybody say, I will come. And pray to me. Say, pray to me. And I will hear and heed you. Well, I'm just not sure God hears my prayers. Old Testament. People who are spiritually dead, God is saying, you pray to me, I'll hear, and I'm going to come to your rescue. And we're sitting here, spirit-filled, born-again believers, going, I don't even know God heard it. I don't know nothing. Verse 13, then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with what? All your heart. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. God is not hiding things from us. God is not hiding things from us. It's interesting because I was just talking with some people about doing some different business deals and stuff, and I was looking at some business deals here recently. And it was like somebody sold a business opportunity out from underneath me. And I was like, you know, we can, yeah, there are natural things that, you know, you wait and, you know, I messed things up before. I'm sure nobody else in here has ever had that experience. But, you know, we kind of miss the mark sometimes when you do things, you delay or whatever. But on the inside, it was like, you know, the Lord has better things. We can sit back and go, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. And you're sitting there going, wait a minute here. God, I believe God. And this is a revelation that, again, it's sometimes challenging, but I believe God's ability to get a hold of me more than I need to shake God's tree to try to get a hold of him. I believe that God is going to be able to do things in my life. I've had things before. I'll probably never talk about this, but I should. I've had times before where there were meetings that I've had, and this is when Adrian and I hadn't been married very long. We were living in an apartment in Oskaloosa. But I remember one time something happened as I was doing things and the church and everything, and Adrian was at work. I think I don't remember what was happening, but there was something very vital, and somehow I'd just been working and doing things and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, and I knew I had to be somewhere, you know, Addie, the whole like late thing we were talking about, you know. And I never am late. I don't like it. I don't like to be. Adrian and I are just always like, we got to be there early. So we're nerds. We got to be there early. But all of a sudden, I was sleeping, and then I felt my body go, like some person grabbed my shoulder and shook my body like this, and I woke up, and I thought, I got to be somewhere. And I thought, that's the Lord. You're thinking, okay, that's crazy, Pastor. But I'm telling you what, there are times where the Lord has done things for me that I needed help on, didn't even know about. And I thought, I didn't, because I physically rolled like this and something pushed me and woke me up because I had to be somewhere. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm being lazy or, you know, I'm doing things, but it's just, I was so exhausted that I just happened to fall asleep. And God in his mercy, he's still looking out for me and doing things behind the scenes. I've had a number of things like that happen where, you know, it's not because I'm lazy or I'm neglectful, but just sometimes things in your life happen and God's still showing up and going, I'm still taking care of you. I'm still trying to keep you on track. I'm still here to try to help you. So it's going, I found you, verse 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to a place which I caused you to be carried away in captivity. Now, they were in sin. We can, you know, kind of, well, God caused them to do this. No, he allowed it because they were in sin and they would not repent. And God said, you got to repent, got to do these things. And the Hebrews wouldn't do it. And then they eventually got carried away. They went into captivity. So, Hebrews would not take, and talking about vision now, God gives us a vision. And so whatever is your vision is, or whatever God is leading you to do, let's say this next year or in life or whatever, God has things for you and you're not taking hold of them, it actually could be pretty detrimental to you. All right? Now, I'm putting it scary, but I'm just saying, we look at things like the Hebrews, they refused to go into the promised land. Right? God had a vision for them. You need to go in there and you need to conquer it. And it's something that I promised Abraham way back when he was, before he traveled to Canaan. God promised Abraham and his people, and again, we're talking about Abraham, who had no children. He and Sarah had no children. And he said, hey, your kids are going to be just like the stars of the sky. It's going to be like the sands on the seashore. I mean, you're going to have these things. And guess what? You're going to have this land right here. And what happened was, when the Hebrews came out of Egypt, God said, I got a vision for you. It's great. I'm going to just what your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're going to have this land. Everything's going to be wonderful. And And then what happened? They took a detour for 40 years, right? And we don't capitalize on those visions and those things that God is leading us to do. Sometimes we'll take a little detour, right? You know? Sometimes things will happen. And so we see the Hebrews would not take hold of the vision that God had given them, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Sometimes we are not taking hold of what the Lord wants us to, and what happens is we wander. We wander. How many of you have wandered before? You're like, you look back and you're thinking, I spent a lot of time. I look back sometimes and I'm thinking, yeah, I spent a little time here too long because I didn't take hold of vision. I wasn't focused on some things. And guess what? I kind of wandered a little bit, right? I'm the only one that has done that? Okay, I see. You know what faith is? Faith is all about trusting the vision and executing on the vision. Can I say that again? Faith is about trusting the vision. So what's faith? Faith is about, we always talk about the Bible, right? We believe the Bible, which is the vision for humanity. It's the vision God has for humanity. The faith is about trusting in the vision and executing the vision. It's about walking out the vision for your life and mankind. Joshua 1, let's turn there. Well, I am just getting real happy tonight. Amen? And I believe God has got some great things for the church. I believe God has got great things for you individually. I believe God has got great things for your family. And no matter whatever transition that you're going through, guess what? There's always blessings on the other side. Every phase of your life and your family, and no matter what it is you're going through, it's a good thing. It may be painful when you're looking at it or going through it, right? But it's going to be good. Joshua 1, verse 3 says, and this is God. And this is where I just love this first chapter. Well, actually, I love the whole Bible. What I'm saying, I love the first part of Joshua because what it is, God is addressing people who refuse to take hold of the vision. And what's he doing? He's trying to get them refocused on the vision that they didn't walk out. And so verse 3 says, and this is, if you're not familiar with Joshua, Moses had died. Joshua was his mentor. Joshua now is taking over. And Joshua, by the way, Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies in the book of Numbers that went in and said, we can take over the land. We can do it. And the other 10, which, of course, you don't know their names because they're nobodies. It was like that. The people who were of faith, we see them all throughout the Bible, but you don't hear anything about it. By any other people who didn't. So the 10 nobodies that refused and got into fear and again, they were looking to their own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord, forgot them. But guess what? Joshua and Caleb, they got to enjoy the land. They got to enjoy the fruits of the vision. And so Joshua's taken over. Moses has died. They move on. Joshua is now going to lead the Hebrews into the promised land, which is Canaan, which is where Israel is today. And so when they're going in, it says, verse chapter 1, verse 3, it says, every place, the Lord is telling them, every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given you, as I promised Moses. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Guess what? Whatever your vision is, and you need to pray about it. I don't have time tonight. We're going to talk about how to access and how to tap into the vision. But we're talking tonight, I'm talking more about how to, the importance of focusing on your vision and the importance of these things. Do you know what? God is not going to fail you. You know, Jesus had such a connection with the Father while he was here on the earth in the flesh. He didn't have fear. Why? Because he knew his Father had his back and the vision. He understood the vision, and therefore faith, again, is about trusting the vision and then executing on that vision. And Jesus was the master of that. He had a revelation of what his purpose was here on the earth. He had a revelation of what his vision was. And he also had a revelation that what, right here, that what, God would be behind him. He would never fail him, and he would not forsake him. I believe God wants people in this church to be extremely wealthy. Amen? I believe God wants people in this church to do missions. Amen? I believe, and my goal is I'm believing God for fun so I can just go ahead and fund people to do missions work. I know what it's like being on the mission field. You don't have time to raise fun. You know, and it's, you go to the mission field and you come back and you're trying to raise money and then you're trying to do missions. It's like, I believe in these last times, the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the righteous, and we're going to see those things. I really do. I believe we're coming into a different age here soon. Because I believe some are called to go, some are called to pay, and I believe we're all called to pray on whatever end that we're doing, and I think we can do all three at some times. And so it says, verse 6, be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers and give them. Go through this first chapter, and I want you to count how many times God says, don't be afraid, be of good courage, be very courageous. God doesn't have a problem with his ability to do things. It's his problem is in this chapter and with the Hebrews back then is they have a slave mentality and he's trying to change their thinking. Because all he's trying to do is get them to put one foot in front of the other and don't be scared. And he's going to take care of everything, right? You know what's so crazy? You know what is so crazy? And you look at the annex and you look at all these people that were giants in that day. And some of these giants were anywhere from between, you know, 9+ feet tall and they were bigger. And some of them were massive giants and everything. And when you look at and you read the dialogue, when the Hebrews got into Jericho, what were they saying? We heard of you and we were afraid. See, the devil kept lying to them and saying, you can't do it. But on the other side, they were like, we heard about what your God did. We heard about the splitting of the Red Sea. We heard about you, your God, defeating the strongest army in the world at that time, Pharaoh, and all of his chariots. We heard about that. You better believe that the enemies of the Hebrews heard about everything that happened to the Egyptians at that time. And guess what? See, this is where I believe God's people, and we struggle sometimes as believers, is because the devil's lying, but he's terrified that you're going to succeed. And how many of us, and that's why it's very important, God always says, you know, we need to look at the benefits, and we'll talk more about those things next week, but I mean, I'd be freaked out if I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, the Red Sea parts. So now, I'll date myself. Back in the 80s, okay, I went to Universal Studios when I was a kid, and That was, how many remember Battlestar Galactica? You know, the like, okay, now I'm really saving myself. But yeah, Dwight's like, yeah, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek. Ah. But anyway, back then, Universal Studios, like in the early 80s when I was in California vacation one time, that was when like Battlestar Galactica, they're like the robots with the eye that goes back and forth, the red eye and stuff. So that was kind of the thing. But one of the things we got in this little Land Cruiser, kind of this little truck, and it had seats in it, you know, and you're like, oh, look over here, look over the guy with, you know, microphone. And so one of them was, oh, look over here, and then Jaws came up out of the water, we're driving alongside, and he's, you know, doing this trick, and then they go, robot. And then one of the things was the Red Sea parting. And we were able to go, and it pulled up, and all of a sudden it was like probably, you know, I don't know, wide enough for like maybe one car to go through, and it was probably maybe the, you know, from here to that wall back there. And so we got in there, and all of a sudden it you know, it drained and it went, and then we drove through, and that's what they used, and they added special effects onto it to make the whole Charlton Heston, you know, Ten Commandments, splitting of the Red Sea. So it was really cool, not as cool as without the special effects, but we drove through it, and at that time I was like, this is really, it kind of made you think, you know? As a kid, you're thinking, wow, I mean, even though this is kind of, you know, mechanical, I look back now and think it is pretty cool. And can you imagine, I thought it was kind of cool when it was all machines, but I'm thinking, can you imagine the real thing? The real Red Sea just boom, splitting. It talks about the blast of his nostrils. So you see some of the creations it talks about, you know, it was a slow drain, and it took a couple of days, and everything. It was like, I mean, the Bible talks about it was a blast of his nostrils, and boom, that thing split. There was no, you know, hours, and it drained, and then this happened. No, that's not the way the Bible says. And in fact, they also did, like, sidetrack here. I get a few rabbit trails. But I believe about 2 years ago, they were actually looking and had some divers on there, and they have found in the spot they believe they have chariots on the bottom. So there's actually artifacts where the Egyptian army drowned. There are chariot wheels and still some remains of things they found at the bottom of the Red Sea. So the problem with the Hebrews were they forgot all about the stuff that happened that God delivered them from. And what happened? They couldn't see the new vision because they forgot about the old one. That's why the Bible is very, and that's why we see in the Bible, you'll see they made altars unto the Lord. Why? Because every time you walk by the altar, you're like, oh, I remember that, what that means. I remember what that means. That's why God always has them have a sacrifice, and there's an altar. Who did those things? Well, we see Noah did it. We see Abraham did it. We see all these people throughout the Bible. Why? Because everybody walks by can see a reminder of what happened. And then verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Guess what? Prosperity is in God. I was just watching because I'm interested in finance and everything. I was watching a documentary of Bernie Madoff. And during 2008, you know, I don't know if those of you were around at that time or no, 2008, 2009, there was subprime mortgage lending. It just simply means that they were given mortgage loans to people who didn't qualify, right? I mean, that's all that really matters. They had no capacity to really pay it off long term. And so when you've got all these things out there, and then coupled with that, Bernie Madoff, which was, you know, had basically, to just kind of simplify it, he was basically kind of shuffling things around, and people thought they were making money, and they really weren't, and he was moving the money and embezzling money and doing different things. Well, anyway, the And he was worth, you know, several billion dollars at that time. They arrested him on a Friday. FBI went on a Monday, or by Tuesday, he was arrested and had charges brought against him. What's that mean? You can look like you're prosperous in one moment, but if it ain't God, you can lose it just like that. And it can be gone just like that. How many people we see in power? They have power, they think they're going to have it, and it can be gone just like that. We see all throughout the Bible, people have wealth, and it's gone just like that. They have a power position, and it's gone just like that. And when you do not have God involved, you are definitely opening yourself up to a massive fall. Because even though you may have it, and I think we're going to see some things coming here down the pipeline that people are going to be, they're going to have some money all of a sudden in one day, and then within a day or two, it's going to be all gone. Because why? Because we see here that the only way, it says, for then you will, what? He'll make your ways prosperous. There are some people that manipulate things and they have something for temporary, but the long haul, it ain't going to last. It will not last. And then he says, and then you, what? Shall deal wisely and what? Have good success. So again, what is success? It means understanding the vision. Faith is understanding the vision and executing vision that God gives you. That's faith. That's what faith is. And then in verse 9, have not I commanded you? Here we go. Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. I love that. Very courageous. And don't be afraid, like the 12th time he said that already. And then, you ever notice that God doesn't mind repeating himself? Because you probably didn't get it the first 30 times, so he's got to say it one more time, right? And I just remember Kenneth Hagin all the time. I'd be in class and or whatever, anytime I listened to him or, you know, a class at Rhema or whatever, at Spiritology, he would always come in with 2 Thessalonians 5:23, talking about the trichotomy of man, spirit, soul, and body. And he always emphasized that order because that's the order of importance, right? Your spirit, which is the real you, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, is attached to your spirit, and then we live in a body. And so every time, so there, when you read something in the Bible, it's okay for it to repeat again, because guess what? You still need it in you, and we still got to have that repetition. Repetition. That's what practice is. Sports, it's repetition. Music, it's called muscle memory. We need it. I'm bored. Do you know how many shots Michael Jordan probably took? I remember one time just watching about maybe I really liked Larry Bird. He was played for the Celtics, you know. And I was just crazy how tall some of these guys are. I mean, Michael Jordan was what, 6'6", and then you get like Larry Bird was like 6'9" or 6'10". I'm like, whoa, like, you know, that's crazy. And so, you know, I just remember watching Larry Bird, and they have like the, in school, they'd have the little aluminum racks with balls on it, you know, and about three levels. And I remember watching when I was younger in the 80s, and they had a three-point contest, and Larry Bird was taking it, and just, I mean, he wouldn't even look at it. He'd grab a ball, and he'd just go like this, and he'd go every time, and I'm just like, I can't even make one hardly. I'm not a great basketball player at all. But he kept doing it. I'm thinking it's a repetition over and over all the time. And that's why the word is so important, just so it becomes automatic. You know, I mean, sure, Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, some of those guys, it wasn't, they just grab it and they just throw it like this because it's automatic. And so again, verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, here we go, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then, verse 18, here's where all the naysayers, you know, God had just about enough of all the naysayers back when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. In verse 18, whoever rebels against your commandment and will not hearken to all of you, all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong, vigorous, and of good courage. What is he really saying? He's saying it's vital to get the negative people out of your life, the lethargic, the complacent, the lukewarm, the backslid, the lazy voices out of your head. Because if you don't get those, whether it's people now again, and we're not saying I got to kill somebody here. They don't like my... But what it means is you need to remove those things out of your life that are going to hinder you from moving forward. And there are several things in the Bible you see that God, he either is going to remove people or do different things because he's got to get things done. Why? Because there's people that need to be reached. God has a plan for this world and to rescue people and to deliver people and to help people. And there are visions that need to happen. And I believe every person in here, there is something that you need, that you is in you. There's a vision that God puts in you that you need to be able to help other people. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to move out of this building again. Because we need to grow. We need to help more people. And there's just something where, we're going to have to get back to serving people. A focus on it. And it's going to take people. It's going to take resources. It's going to take all these things. God's going to supply those things. It's like anything else too. In order to, for your vision to take place, you got to help somebody else's vision. It doesn't matter what you do in life, whatever it is that your vision is, but every vision, it's all about serving people. You're providing a need for somebody, whether that's business, right? Because if you don't provide a need or a want, you're really not. Well, good. What good is it, right? You're not providing something that helps people or something that they want in a business sense, it doesn't really matter, right? I can't help people that are like, yeah, I got somebody to work with. I got it all taken care of. But I believe there's something in every person in this room that God has gifted or anointed you to do something to help people. You don't think making cookies is kind of a big deal, right? If God called me to make cookies, I'm like, God, you got to make a creative miracle in my mind or something, because I can't do it. I'm just telling you right now, it's just. But these people who can bake, we always think something, super spiritual all the time. But, there are things that we haven't got to, we'll get into next week, but there are things that God has put visions into people, like Mary Kay Ash. Ever heard of Mary Kay? Like cosmetics, there are believers, people who are Christians, that God anoints and they're gifted to do certain things. You think about, makeup or, products like that. But we need Christian people to take over. Amen? That's why I believe that we're kind of in the state that we've been in for a long time, is because we as believers, I remember back in the day, as a kid, it was like everybody thought we were just going to be raptured at any time, Why am I going to, And there was people that didn't even, they put off going to college or doing things that they wanted or did different things that they thought the rapture was going to happen any time. Well, I believe that we should live our lives that Jesus could come back any moment, but we should plan and have a vision that he's never coming back. Because he may not come back in our time. I don't know. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Father telling him when to come. That's between the Father and Jesus, and I'm out here in the cheap seats. I don't know, right? I have no say. God doesn't ask me what I think on those things. And I would probably make a mess if I told him anyway. So we all have, God has, I believe, every person to have a vision for your life, right? Doesn't mean maybe we're not going to be president or we're going to do these or, we're going to, do whatever, but it means that there's just something that you get, it just resonates with your spirit, you have just peace on something. that God is going to give you vision for, or even the visions that you have now. I believe that God is going to help us, because he's going to make our ways, our paths straight. That just simply means whatever way we're going, God is going to make sure that you're going to stay on that path and help you stay on the path that he gives you. Father, we just thank you so much tonight for these people. And I just thank you that as we're moving into this new year, Lord, that it is blessed, that you are anointing people. Father, I thank you there's going to be purpose in people's lives like never before. They're going to have vision for their lives like never before, and their family and their businesses or whatever it is, or their jobs. Lord God, I just speak that there is just going to be supernatural favor with people this year. No matter what it is they're believing for, Father, that we're all going to be able to step up and move into a new realm with you, Father. And there's just anointing and blessings and vision and clarity and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.